Oh, man. So first of all, how do you follow that? And second, this is the first time this ship has ever sailed, so you're all guinea pigs, I guess. If you don't know me, I'm Hunter Gwynn. I am the great church member thief of 2001.
You are.
Yeah. And I'm glad I am. I teach fifth grade at Valley Springs, and I've had a few of these people in my classes in the past. And I tell you that to tell you this. When I do my lessons at Newton County, they're more of a lesson, and I feel like, than preaching. I don't know the difference, if there is one. So bear with me. I usually say stuff pretty quick, and it gets done with, and I usually have students talking to me, which is why it takes as long as it does. So I'm going to first read a verse out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it'll be verses 2 and 3. Says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceed out the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you just be with us in this service, God. Give me the words to say when I need to say them, Lord. Give me the strength to stand up here and speak your word, God, to these people. And let it not only be heard, but let it be done. And I ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. So, first I have a question. If you've ever heard the statement, you are what you eat. And I was talking to Megan just a minute ago, and I don't know if everybody has stolen my message or just confirmed it. She said confirmed it. Well, what does it mean when people say you are what you eat? It just means if you eat junk food all the time, that you probably will feel like junk. And if you eat more healthy, then you're going to tend to feel more healthy. And many of us already know where I'm going with this. But I can remember in life, college times, that I would sit and do nothing but drink Mountain Dew, play video games instead of study sometimes. And I would get tired and I would have very little energy. And sometimes it would be hard to focus. I wasn't putting the right things into my body to give it energy. You probably laugh, some of you. I did put on weight. It wasn't great for my health. But I also remember times where I was eating right and I was exercising, and I would feel good and I would feel rested. And I was tired less often because I was putting the right things into my body. And now on to this part. The Bible, God's Word, mentions food a lot. A whole lot. And there are many, many times in scriptures where food is brought up. And what I found on Google, if you can believe it or not, was 1,207 times the word food is mentioned. The word grain shows up 507 times. Bread is mentioned 466 times. And drinks clock in at around 452 times. And I want to ask for just a minute, off topic slightly, how long did it take us to memorize our favorite song that we would hear on the radio, or our favorite line from a book or a movie? Was it 1,200 times? Probably not. So I found that the more the Bible says something and the more that the Bible brings something to light, the more important it is. And I don't think anybody in here would argue with me if I told you or said food is essential to us. And I'm going to add, not just once a week. So I want to go to math class just a little bit here. God's Word draws parallels between physical food and spiritual food. Parallel lines for math. They travel in the same direction. They never really touch, but they do have the same destination and they have the same direction. Spiritual food is going to be just as important to us as spiritual food, students and adults. And even more important if you are worried about the state of your soul. One of the earliest references in the Bible to food is in Deuteronomy, the verse that I read, verses 2 and 3. And he's reminding the Israelites what God has done for them. He's saying, I humbled thee, and I suffered thee to hunger, and I fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. It's a reminder, church, because I can say that, even though we have different memberships in this building, we are the church. It's a reminder that we cannot make it out of this world or make it through the day with bread only. We have to have the words of God to make it, and it's going to be the only way. And to help prove that point, Jesus calls himself the bread of life in John 6, 48. And he says it again in verses 50 through 51. And in verse 48, I like it because it's simple and it's straightforward. He just says, I am the bread of life. And you can't argue with that. In verses 50 and 51, he says, this is the bread which doth come down from heaven, that a man may eateth thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So, to sum that section up, Jesus equates himself with food. And we have already established that we need some kind of food. So, moving on. First, to get to this bread of life that lasts forever, you have to accept Jesus and what he did on the cross to cleanse you of your sins. It's a wonderful transformation into a new life. And he's going to change you over time from the inside out, not the outside in. But there's a slight catch. Because with that brand new life, you're born again. And you're born again as a baby. You're not born adults. It's awesome. And it's a wondrous miracle that we can experience through Christ only, the second birth. But hear me out. Babies come with issues. Right, Ryan? Here's part of the issue. Babies are weak. They can be influenced. They can be picked up. They can be picked up, walked off with. They can be knocked down, and they're not sturdy. Do you see the problems involved with being a baby? Right. And listen, as kids, all we ever want to do is grow up. Right? I haven't met very many kids that want to, you know, stay a kid forever. But we want to get physically bigger and we want to get stronger and that's one of our desires. And I struggle to say sometimes, I'm shorter than most everybody else, but there are some poor kids that don't get very tall, and they get depressed that they are short. And in fact, when we were coming in, I introduced Andrew over here as the tall one, as Peyton as the short one, and Peyton was like, hey, wait a minute. We want to grow. We desire to grow, but we need to want to grow up spiritually just as bad. Amen. The way we do that is found in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And I want to point out a couple of words from this particular passage. One word is the word desire. Students, just because this is student night, and that's usually my demographic, and I'm going to pound it a little bit here. You have to want it. Okay? It's not going to appear in your brain one day. A student I had at Deer told me that he would be able to pass his mathematics test because God was just going to give him the answers. And I said, he could, but he's not going to do that. In the same way, you have to want God's Word. And He doesn't force us to read His Word. And I remember during our Bible studies at Oak Lane, if I can say all this, Ryan talking about a time in life when he earnestly had to sit down and say to God, I need you to fill me with a hunger for your word. Because sometimes we think we're doing okay. And it was a moment that has stuck with me. We get to a point in life where we should be old enough to be hungry over God's word for ourselves. And Oak Lane had no idea at first that I was going to steal one of their youth leaders away or youth teachers away. And I said that part to say this, students and adults, we are not always going to have someone to feed us. And we shouldn't need someone to feed us either. Heaven forbid Mike's problem was worse than it was. Okay? He could have wound up like our friend Tim. And what if it's not just Mike? What if it's someone else? Okay, I've got more to say on that later. The other word in this is grow. Because it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And I want to bring up a separate passage of this to help me with the word grow. And it's in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Paul writes for us, be not conformed to this world. And I know there's more to the verse, but I want to stop because I want to ask you all something. Students, yes, but adults as well. What are you feeding yourself? And I cannot say that from here without me having to have asked that question myself. Don't think that somebody can get up and preach to you if God hasn't given them the word and set it on their own shoulders first, because I have to think about it as well. What are you feeding yourself, students? Music, movies, YouTube, friends, books, hobbies. What are the kinds of things that you're going to be feeding yourself? I don't want to step on toes, but I want to be clear. Your spiritual diet is every bit as much your choice as what you pull out of the refrigerator and eat. And it might even be easier to pick your spiritual diet right now than it is if somebody at home cooks for you. Make no mistake, church, if we choose a worldly diet, we are going to be worldly people. Back to the word grow. A few more parallels. If you take away physical food, growth stops completely. And many times when growth stops in a child, harm begins. It's not good to go without food. Malnutrition causes a host of issues, from stunted growth to changes in your nervous system. If you want more information, my mom could probably answer. So could Kim, not to take away from Kim. But I was doing research for what I'm talking to you about tonight, and it hit me that they found that even in animal studies, some of the issues, listen carefully, from malnutrition seem to pass on to the next generation. It was like a light bulb. Some of the things caused by malnutrition can be passed from parents to youth. I'm not as worried about this church as I've watched young people come and preach, but it doesn't take very long without food to start starving to death. I hope you see the parallel between physical food and spiritual food. Issues with spiritual malnutrition will get passed on too. Go without God's word and spiritual growth stops, and then the world will start filling you. Because make no mistake, something will, and it's those two things. Paul saw a problem here. Listen to what he says to the Hebrew people in Hebrews 5:12-14. He says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is as a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, if it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, you got to keep in mind that this man was a sports nut, for lack of a better word. He loved the competition, okay? And running, wrestling, whatever they were involved in, he would have basketball posters slapped on the mule, and he would be running around wanting to see the competition. And one of those big sports was racing. So imagine this sports nut watching people running backwards in a race instead of forward on that track. Okay? And if it is a sports person and they are talking passionately about sports and they see somebody doing exactly the opposite of what they would be doing, this is a scathing remark. You all ought to be old enough to teach, and you all ought to be old enough to get up and do this, but instead, we've got to spoon feed you. And they didn't even have the Bible then. They were just told to test it and run with it if God told them that it was the right thing to do. They couldn't sit down and read this. And we can. We've got a huge advantage. Not only could they not teach, they couldn't even understand what Jesus had taught. They had to ask about the oracles of God. And they needed to be taught. Their spiritual diet was not growing them. They were being worldly. And again, I think that would be chastisement. And I said that to say this. If somebody in here, a leader, were to pass away, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, could you do the job? Could you be the one that teaches? And, oh my goodness, sitting at church at home, it would terrify me to think, oh gosh, you know, the Lord might have me preach one day, Andrew. The Lord might have me do that, and I don't know. And many years ago when I got, it feels like many years, I say many years, when I got licensed to be the youth pastor at the church, Andrew said, and he did this to me, he put this bug in my ear. He said, you know, normally when we license somebody, it's after they preach their first message. I was like, oh, no, I did not know that. So I've been like skidding by on prayers this whole time. But really, do you need myself or Mike or Joey, students, to teach you what God's Word says? Or have you sat down and tried to read it for yourself? And I'm not saying that to call you out other than to say we have to call ourselves out too. We should all be growing strong enough to be able to preach God's Word. And I don't mean, ladies, gentlemen, getting up here and doing this. I don't necessarily mean that. Because the Bible also tells you to be prepared to be able to give a defense for what you believe. Can you stop and talk to somebody on the street about what you believe, about God's word? Can you bring it up in conversation? Can you tell people what God has told you? Or do you need somebody to tell you again what to believe and how to believe it? Bottom line, students and adults, every single person in the world has access to the bread of life. And his name's Jesus. He died on the cross and he was raised 3 days later to forgive us our sins and give us free access to God himself. Which is something, again, that many people in these biblical times had no access to other than through a priest. Jesus sits in the pantry of our lives and he's waiting for us to choose him instead of the world. Living a godly life isn't some crazy secret formula that only Mike knows, that only that Andrew, who pastors a church, knows. We just have to choose him daily. Take him in, let him lead you, and then after you saturate yourself with him, eat him, breathe him, then you will be able to teach. And I would argue that you can't help teaching because you're going to be so full of him that he winds up coming out. We have one life to live on the earth, and many people like to say YOLO. The young people, maybe it's not as cool as it was because trends come and go so fast. But anyway, it is YOLO. But you need to think about it in the terms of a spiritual, you only have one chance to affect people here kind of lifestyle. Isaiah 55, verse 2, asks this very important question. Wherefore do you spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isaiah is asking why we waste our time and effort on things that don't matter whatsoever. Life on earth will end in one of two ways, heaven or hell. And the Apostle John gives us some great advice in John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Listen, Jesus is the only thing that's worth striving for. He's the only thing worth chasing, and he's the only thing worth taking in. And I was super encouraged that Joey had you guys pick your favorite thing, which means you did read it and you did take it in and you did chew on it because you were able to pick something out of it. Because I could stand up here and read the entire thing to you and you might not get a single word out of it. I could eat and eat and eat, and somebody sitting beside me would not gain weight. And likewise, I could read this and read this and read this for somebody else, and it won't work. It won't work, guys. You have to want it. You have to want to chase him. He is the only thing worth chasing in this world. You just really need to be on his spiritual diet. And that's pretty well what I had to say, guys.